Thank you, Andy. Welcome to you.
Turn to Daniel chapter 1, have that ready. We will read a few verses from it shortly. Two Sundays ago, I don't know if you joined me in this, but we witnessed the most watched TV event of the year so far. The final episode of Line of Duty. Hands up, anyone who watched that. Now, I've been told by the person managing the PowerPoint not to give any spoilers. So if I suddenly get cut off, then I'm obviously getting too close to the mark. But this was series six. And when I started watching series six, encouraged by my children, I hadn't seen any of the previous five series at all. Now, series six was fantastic TV. There were brilliant characters, there was a gripping story, but we were very quickly drawn into the tension of what was happening. Every episode ended on a cliffhanger, and we're like, no, you can't finish, we can't wait another week to find out what's going to happen. It was brilliant. But there were bits that I didn't quite get because I hadn't seen what had come before. I didn't know the background. So who is Jackie Laverty? Why do they keep talking about a caddy all the time? Why do my kids break out into spontaneous cheering every time Hastings says that all he's bothered about is bent coppers? That didn't make any sense to me. I loved watching Series 6. I got a lot out of it. I would have got even more out of it if I had known how what I was watching continued and built on what had happened before. And that's true with any series, any story, isn't it? And it's true with the Bible. Whichever bit of the Bible you read, God can speak to you through it. Absolutely. But when you're able to see how the bit that you are reading fits into the whole thing, how it shows or it develops, perhaps one of the big themes that runs through the whole of the Bible, then you'll find even more in the bit that you're reading. And I think that's true with this passage from Daniel chapter 1. It stands alone. There is stuff that we can learn from just this, but also it is part of something bigger. So before we get to this, I want us to just step back just for a moment before we dive into this Daniel passage. In Genesis 12, so right near the start of the Bible, we find God revealing how he's going to interact with the people of this world. And he chooses one man, a man called Abraham. And he promises to grow this man's family into a nation, the nation of Israel, who will be God's agents to the rest of the world. And this is what he promises Abraham. It's up on the screen there. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, we read, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Abraham, I will bless you, and then you will be a blessing to everyone else. As God's people, you are blessed to be a blessing. That's the plan. That's the pattern. That's a promise that God has made to his people. Now, when God's people turn away from him, when they worship other gods, then they step away from God's blessing and God's protection, and this pattern breaks down. We're just reading the Bible in the 1 year series, and if anyone else is doing that at the moment, we're in Judges. And Judges, it's just a mess because God's people have gone so far away from this plan. But when God's people live as God's people, when they follow his lead, when they obey his laws, then they receive God's blessing, and in turn they are a blessing to those around them. And this covenant, this pattern runs through the whole of the Bible, which brings us to our passage for today, Daniel chapter 1. After a prolonged period of going away from God, Israel are overrun by their enemy, Babylon, under King Nebuchadnezzar. The people are forced into exile. They're removed from everything that's familiar to them. And Daniel and his friends are taken into this pagan king's training program, which is what you've been looking at, isn't it, over the last few weeks. Now, in this situation that they find themselves in, defeated, surrounded by a godless enemy in exile, God's people have four options of how to respond to the situation they find themselves in. They can withdraw, they can just keep themselves to themselves, have nothing to do with the enemy around them. They can attack, they can choose to use force to try to destroy the enemy around them. They can compromise. They can just think, if you can't beat them, join them. Let's just become like the enemy around us. Or, and maybe if they remember the covenant plan, number four, they can choose to bless, to join in with God's mission to the enemy around them. So what's it going to be this time? Is there even anyone left who remembers that this is how God's plan is meant to work? To which the answer, of course, is yes. There are these four young men that we've met over recent weeks who have a faith in God and who are ready to follow the plan, even in this godless situation. So let's read Daniel chapter 1 from verse 17. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. And at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar, the king. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so they entered the king's service. They didn't withdraw. They didn't cut themselves off. They didn't refuse to cooperate with what they were being forced into. They didn't try and destroy the society and its structures that they found there. And as we'll see in the coming weeks, they certainly do not compromise their faith. But they take what God has blessed them with, the things that he's given to them, and they use those things to bless the king, to bless the government, to bless the society around them for the glory of God. And for them, the things that God has blessed them with are life. They haven't been killed by the enemy. They have health. They've been given education. They've been given positions of influence. And we're told in the verses that we just read that God has given them knowledge and understanding and insight into dreams and visions. That's what God has blessed them with. And so they use what they have been blessed with to bless the people around them, the people in their world. And when those things give them the opportunity, they give glory to God for whatever good comes from their efforts. So much so that the king himself, we find, praises and worships God because of the witness of these four men to him. And not just once, again and again and again. Because this is the plan. God says, I will bless you, my people, and all people will be blessed through you. So it's not just your friends will be blessed. It's not just people who are like you who will be blessed. All people, even pagan rulers and godless societies, can be blessed through God's people. And this is not just an Old Testament idea. Jesus himself not only continued the pattern in his life and his ministry, but he reminded his followers, including us, that this is the plan. That we are blessed to be a blessing. Jesus was approached one day, you may remember, by the religious leaders around him. And they said, can you tell us what is the most important part of all of God's law? What's the most important bit? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. self. Actively love them. Because when that's true, when you really do love people like the way you love yourself, then there's no longer any more them and us. There are just people that we can bless. This is the plan. On another occasion, Jesus said, when it comes to your enemies, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Don't withdraw from them and kind of keep yourself tucked away. Don't attack them. Pray blessing on them. Look for ways to bless. And that's what we see Daniel and his friends doing here. They take what God has given them, what he's blessed them with, and they use those things to be a blessing. Even in this place that they would rather not be in, even in this place which is absolutely a second choice situation for them. So today there are three things that I just want us to notice from this passage for our own prayers, for our own action. And the first thing we see is something about bringing God's blessing to authority. So these four young men had access to the people in power in their day. And they had the gifts to bring godly influence into that setting and the wisdom to do it well. And today in our nation, across the world, at all levels of government and business, in economics, in the media, in education, in the legal system, wherever it is, the world desperately needs men and women who are blessed with love and faith and the wisdom of God, and who are ready to be a blessing, ready to speak truth, ready to fight for justice and fairness. People who know that they are blessed by the living God and are ready to spread it around. If that's you, if you're in that kind of position, or if that's your ambition as a young person today, then we want to pray for the power of God's Spirit to enable you to fulfill your calling, to be a blessing to authority. If you know someone who is in a position like that, then talk to them, ask them, how can I support you? How can we cheer you on? How can we pray for you? How can we help you in that role that you have of being a blessing to people in positions of authority? And if you don't know anyone, then just pray that God will be raising up people into places and positions like that. Positions of influence, where they can carry God's blessing to people in authority, who can be a real influence for what is good and what is godly in this world. Second thing that we see here is the blessing of godly young people. I think we can easily forget when we read these stories and how it unfolds and what amazing things are done through these four, that they are really young, probably teenagers, you've learned in the last couple of weeks. And yet they are used so powerfully for God. And remember the context that they're in. Their own people, who are supposed to be the people of God, have gone so far away from God that they now find themselves in exile under God's judgment. And they have been forcibly removed from their people to live in a godless pagan society with false religion all around them. And yet, these four have an undefeatable faith in the true and living God. Which means that there has been something in the way that faith in God has been modeled to them, has been taught to them, has been prayed into them. We don't know who by, probably by their family, by friends, I imagine, which means that their faith is real and true and strong, despite everything that is going on around them, which is so anti-God. A godless society does not have to mean godless kids. It is possible. It's absolutely possible to raise children and young people to be to be men and women of strong faith in a godless society. We see it here. Men and women of influence who know that they are blessed and who are ready to be. So keep praying for your kids and for your young people. Keep praying for the kids and the young people in your church. Keep talking to them about faith. Keep discipling them. Keep showing them Jesus. Keep modeling Christian life to them. Keep praying for their salvation and for God's blessing on them, for their gifting, for their influence in this world. Because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And we need to believe that. Because our kids can bring God's blessing into our society. So there's something here about God's blessing to authority. There's something here absolutely about the blessing of godly young people. And then thirdly, when we see that these four are part of a bigger picture, I think this speaks to us all as God's people that we are blessed, all of us, to be a blessing. If this was just an isolated incident in the Bible, then I'm sure we would still see these things about blessing authority and about the blessing of young people. But when we see that this is part of the bigger picture of God's purpose right from the start, from Genesis, to bless his people and to make them a blessing, we can see that absolutely this is for all of us too. Any of us, all of us who have the blessing of knowing that God is our loving Heavenly Father, every single one of us. We have this call on our lives too, to be a blessing. He has chosen us. He has chosen you to make a difference, to join him in what he's doing in this world. Isn't that amazing? Every single one of us. A number of years ago, I was invited to join a band. A singing group. I played keyboard, and in the church that we went to at that time, there was a group, and they asked if I would like to join them, which I thought would be great. It'd be good fun to do. And to start with, when I first went and started trying to join in with them at the kind of the rehearsals that we had, because I had a keyboard, I could plug headphones into it, so I could hear what I was doing, and they couldn't while I tried to learn the songs. And I kind of wore them with one ear on and one ear off, partly because I thought it looked cool, which is probably not true, but so that I could hear me and I could hear them at the same time, but they couldn't hear what I was doing with all the mistakes that happened at the beginning of that kind of process. But after a little while, one of the lead singers decided that I'd had enough time. And she unplugged the headphones and just said, "What have you got?" And I just had to go for it and to kind of join in. And we did make some good, music together. It was great fun. But that is a brilliant question. It's a question for us all today. What have you got? What have you got? What has God given you? And how can you use what he has given you to be a blessing? Because this is the plan, this is the pattern. We are loved so that we can love. We're invited so that we can invite others. We are forgiven so that we can offer forgiveness to others. We are given gifts so that we can use them for the good of others. Have you been blessed with resources of money or time? What knowledge and skills have you got? What talents have you got? Are you good with people? What have you got? Are you a baker? You can bless people. You can bless me. Are you good at DIY? Are you an organizer? Are you a planner? Are you a tidier? Are you a listener? We're told that coming out of this pandemic, people's mental health is going to be worse across society than it's ever been. Are you a listener? You're an encourager. You're a teacher. You're good with figures. Are you good with money? You're generous. That's different from being wealthy. If you're generous and wealthy, then that's a winning combination. You're good in business. This pandemic's going to impact employment or unemployment hugely. Can you do something about that? You sporty? You patient? Do you love kids? Do you love old people? Do you have time? What spiritual gifts has the Holy Spirit given to you? Are you a prophet? Are you given words and pictures for other people? Are you an evangelist? What have you got? What have you got? And as God's church, we have been given grace and forgiveness. We know something about family. We have received welcome. We know the gospel of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And there are people around us who desperately need all of those things. And the plan is that we have been blessed to be a blessing. We need to be intentional about using what we've got for the people around us. How can you share the blessing? I love the vision of an organization called Home for Good. You may have heard of them, who absolutely are a Christian charity kind of taking this principle into the whole area of fostering and adoption. And they're trying to encourage Christians and their churches around them together to offer home to children in care. Have you got space? Could you use that to bless a young person? If every church had one family who could take in one child, supported by the church community around them, there would be no more children in care. Isn't that an amazing vision? We're blessed to be a blessing as individuals and together as God's people. So how has God blessed you? How has God blessed us? Whatever it is, it has been given in order for us, for you, to use that thing to bless other people in the name of the risen Lord Jesus. That's the plan. That's his plan. That's the pattern, and it always has been from the beginning, and it's what we see Daniel and his friends joining in with in our passage. Church, we have been blessed in order to be a blessing. So let's believe that. Let's embrace that. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, let's do it. For the blessing of the world around us, for the glory of God in our society.